Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
Acts chapter 11, and may we read together once again. Verse 25 says that when Peter was come in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Could you and I agree together that there really are a lot of superstitious people around? Because after all, when Peter walks in, this man falls down and worships him, thinking he is God himself. And Peter says, wait a minute, you got it all wrong. I'm not God. Stand up, I'm not God. You and I are not God. But we are the people who are supposed to deliver this essential message. And if you're taking notes, notice to authoritative and religious and charitable and praying and prepared and waiting and superstitious. And even, look at verses 36 through 37, even something just a little bit more here, so we're very plain about it. As he is testifying to them, he says, the word which God sent, this is in chapter 10 and verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Watch what he says in verse 37, that word I say you know. Whoa. Cornelius and these people even knew something about the religious life of Jesus Christ. They were not completely ignorant of Jesus. They knew there was something going on there. And they even knew something apparently about the preaching, because verse 37 also refers to the preaching of John. John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So they had some connection with what's being said. Now, as you go down through this, knowledgeable people they are. You can see that in verses 36 through 37. When you look down through that list, doesn't it seem to you that people who have these characteristics ought to be in heaven? But I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, shared by the angel to Cornelius, given to Peter, and recorded for us by the Holy Spirit of God, they're missing something. They need to be saved. Notice then what is being said here. Though these people are very religious, prepared and waiting, they need someone to testify to them. Notice at the very bottom of your notes, this is the way I put it so that we could walk away from here holding on to this. When he says in verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Here's what you can glean from this. You are the messenger. See that blank right there? You are the messenger who must give the message. Who shall tell thee words? You are the messenger who must give the message that matters to men for all eternity. For all eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, you show me a higher privilege. You show me a higher privilege that someone has than to be able to deliver words which God has given him, the very word of God. You show me a greater privilege. And that for all eternity, as you are praising and honoring God, you bump into someone and they say to you, I want to thank you. You're the one who shared about Jesus Christ with me. You're the one who helped me to understand salvation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Show me a higher privilege. And so I say to you, you are the messenger who must give the message that matters to men for all eternity. Let's see if we get it. Instead of you are, let's say I am. Say this with me. I am the messenger. Let's try it again. I am the messenger who must give the message that matters to men for all eternity. Say it with me again. I am the messenger who must give the message that matters to men for all eternity. I ask you this morning, would you answer his high call? You say, Pastor, what is the nature of this message that's being shared? Many of you just went through this in Sunday school just a few minutes ago. But I want to show you once again from another passage just how beautiful and how wonderful this is. Look what it says in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. Then Peter opened his mouth, all right? He's gone through everything else. He walks into the home of Cornelius. He finds out everything it said. And they're all sitting there waiting expectantly, just hanging on. What's he going to say? And Peter opens his mouth. I hope that after this message, every one of us in this room will be determined to open his mouth. Peter begins to testify in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I find it interesting that he immediately starts referring to who God is. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Everything you see there in verses 34 down through the first part of verse 39 is about our glorious God. We've talked about this many times, even in recent messages and certainly in Sunday school. But folks, when Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the, you tell me, the glory of God, you and I have to be absolutely sure that as we are sharing the good news, we are glorifying God. Otherwise, people are in great danger of not understanding what sin is. Sin can very easily become a bad hair day. That's not nearly the trouble to some of us as it used to be, but a bad hair day is what they think about when they think about sin. Could you and I be prepared to glorify God? I think it's the very first thing that he shared here. If you're making notes, you'll see the grace outline, the glory of God. Look at the rebellion of man, secondly, the R in grace. Look at the rebellion of man. What does it say in the last phrase in verse 39? Whom they slew and hanged on a tree. What does that tell you? That tells me man rebelled against God. How'd that happen? It happened all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You remember what Satan said to Eve? You get to be God. You shall be as God. And instead of exalting the unique and perfect Spirit in whom all things have their source, support, and being, instead of exalting the Holy God that our choir sang to us about a few moments ago, man says, forget that, king me, I'm king, I get to be God. And all through human history, you and I have suffered from the delusion that Adam and Eve entered into, and here it is. I get to be my own good God. I can be God, and I can be good at it. And the corruption and the poison that has come down on us has been the fruit of that very rebellion. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we can see the rebellion of God except as in contrast to rebellion of man, I should say, except as in contrast to the glory of God. You can't really clearly see man's rebellion. But when you read a passage like this and you look at the way that God offered his message and they took him and put him to death, you see something about the rebellion of man. I love this in verse 40, though. It says, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Can you see how God continued to glorify himself even in the face of rebellious man? It tells us in Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And we've been learning, that's how people make a fist in the face of God. That's exactly what they did here. But you know what the Lord did? He raised him up. He said, we'll put him to death, and that'll be the end of that. And it wasn't the end of that. To the great glory of God, God raised him up. But I want you to notice something. Do you see that down there, that last phrase in verse 42? That it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. You see, you not only see in this passage the glory of God and the rebellion of man, but you also see, letter A, the awful penalty for that rebellion. There may be people in this room who say, I'm not afraid to die. All right, but are you prepared to stand at the judgment? Are you absolutely positive that you are ready to stand at the judgment before God Himself? Only those who have been clothed in the righteousness of God, offered through the work of Jesus Christ, His finished work upon the cross, only those can have that confidence. What confidence do they have? Well, you can see it here in verse 43. Look what it says. To whom give all the prophets witness that through His name, the authority of Jesus Christ, that through His name, whosoever believes in Him shall receive remission of sins. That word remission of sins means they're wiped away. Ladies and gentlemen, your sins can be wiped away as you place all your trust, all your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a graceful and glorious message. God, the glorious God, rebelled against by man, an awful penalty to be paid for that rebellion. Christ paid that penalty. You talk about the glory of God, Christ paid the penalty. You say, Pastor, what would you do? I'd do exactly what it says in this verse. I would believe, I would trust. The E is embrace Christ today. Why not right now? Why not this very moment? Knowing this message, hearing this preaching, why not this very moment? Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to take the outline I placed before you this morning and to very carefully study it. If you are having any question at all about whether or not you have eternal life, I challenge you to fall on your face before the Lord and find out. You'll notice there in the additional study passages how plain this can be. But let me tell you what the Lord testified in John chapter 7 and verse 17. He said, if any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Would you today, with a sincere heart, desire to seek the Lord? Christians, before we walk away from this message, you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been presented today. May I remind you that there are neighbors who are waiting and that you are the messenger who must give the message that matters to men for all eternity.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.